It doesn't rain too much as Fiend's cycling through Kentucky, heading off to Illinois, which is an important thing. Last week on the Midweek Drive, the words were uttered, the show ain't big enough for Jodie Orton and Phil Leonis. Clearly, Jodie's voicemail service has actually agreed, because we haven't managed to reach Jodie, but we've gone straight to our ace, Chill Pack Hollywood person extraordinaire, the main man, Phil Leonis. How are you, Phil?
I am doing good, Alex. I mean, I don't know what to make of myself because I'm fully dressed and have been hard at work since. I mean, let me put it this way. I got more done by 8:30 this morning than most people get done by like 8:35.
Excellent.
So, I mean, I've really been on fire.
I think this rocking and rolling. That's what you do in L.A. So,
when you're finishing up the seventh year of your weekly show,
yeah, I know.
You know, that's how you just launch into year eight with a full head of steam.
It's the way forward. I said that, you know, after the first two decades of various shows, so we just motor on through. That's the important thing. So have we helped, Phil? Have we helped kind of keep you inspired in a Lincoln inspired package? I think certainly in terms of inspiring, bless her heart, Penny said, wow, Florida to Vancouver on a bike, heck of an adventure. We'll enjoy hearing more of Fiend Heel's travels as time goes on. And when she gets to Vancouver, she should celebrate with dinner in the Revolving Harbour Tower. Fantastic views of the beautiful city at night. You're nodding. No, there, Chloe, I see. Yeah,
I wish I went there.
go Fiend. Yeah, very excellent. So, Cameron Tilbury, Sally Jeeson, Kelly Duncan Joyner, Fiend Heel, Michelle Monroe, Giles Christian, Richard Edwards, now yourself, Phil Leonis. Where do you want to go first? Because, you know, obviously, and of course,
I like that part of the show where you just read names to me.
Yeah.
Of people who had been on the show previously. That was a real highlight.
Yeah, very good. Well, it's
this bicycle trip actually is quite fantastic. You know, I made a film called Carl Rove, I Love You, a very, very funny film, and my collaborator on it, wonderful character actor Dan Butler, who's best known for all the years he spent on the hit TV series Frasier. When he was a young man, he just spent 9 months bicycling across America, kind of back and forth, and would tell me tales of his adventure of doing it, and it sounded romantic and exciting and poetic and wonderful at the time. And now, you know, just a handful of years later, and having crisscrossed so much of this country, for example, with Dean Haglund when we were making The Truth Is Out There, by car, it occurs to me that maybe the best way to actually see the United States and to see all the unique differences between different parts of the country might be on bicycle. Because, of course, so much of the United States is connected by highways and freeways and interstates.
I'd agree, as long as I could have a tricycle, you know, kind of like the stabilizers, you know, because otherwise I just feel center of gravity. I'm not the world's biggest bike.
Oh, my goodness, that gave me a wonderful idea. What about a sidecar?
Well, we're talking.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Can you picture maybe a certain Southside broadcaster and a certain American podcaster? In tandem, biking across.
I will go
North
beyond
America.
That. I would say to Charlie Borman and indeed to Ewan McGregor, eat your heart out, boys. Leonis and Leftuga on the case.
That'd be so great with a little sidecar and everything. And, you know.
It's like Wallace and Gromit, but different world.
You know, me wearing a motorcycle helmet for no apparent reason, you wearing, you know, a cap at a rakish angle. I don't know. It's almost...
Study. You're scaring the co-presenters, Phil. We don't want to sort of, you know, please. Lord knows what's happening
to... Well, no, I know. I mean, my fear is that we would be almost too dashing, and we certainly don't want to scare everybody.
Well, that's very true. Sorry, I'm breaking into a Yorkshire accent, moving up to Sunderland from that point of view. Sorry, Christina.
That's fine.
But, and, of course, let's be honest. You're not a Geordie. It's very important.
Because
people inevitably in Lincoln, they'll say, oh, you're Geordie. No.
No, I'm a Mackham.
There we are. Yeah. Very important, critical line there. So where else do you want to go, Phil? We still have...
Well, I think it's appropriate that actually this story about the bicycling captured my fancy, this kind of story of exploration, because, after all, Alex, half of my ancestry is Viking.
See, that deserved
listen to the silence.
The silence was simply, as Jodie Orton said, we were trawling around the wrong number. Sorry, Jodie. It's these things happen. Yeah, yeah. So you see already, Samantha Sheldon chuckling at the thought of you in a sidecar, 5! Oh, the images I have in my head! Exclamation mark.
Hey, Alex, I actually have a question for you, and it's a serious question, and it was something that you threw out when I think you were talking to Kelly, and she couldn't hear the question that was asked of her, and you said, well, why don't you just answer the question that you thought you heard.
Mm-hmm. It's the way I've worked with Holly many a time over a seminar thing, you know.
I mean, we would certainly learn something about everyone if they just answer the question they think they heard. But you made the joke that that's what politicians do. However, in seriousness, in all your years of education, certainly that is also a tool of the great teachers, isn't it? I mean, that you know, either because a student isn't quite able to formulate the question that they want to be asking, or their question is going to lead you down a road to nowhere. Isn't there an art in education of kind of answering the question you wish the student had asked, while making the student think you had answered their question?
Short answer, yes. Slightly longer answer, that is the essence of educare, from the Greek meaning to lead out and develop a person's innate potential. Either that or wax on and wax off in a kind of Mr. Miyagi way.
I mean, we have gone from Viking to the ancient Greeks to a commercial about wax on, wax off. Yeah. I mean, where will we go next?
I'd say the Sugar Syndrome on the 28th of May. Shameless plug, but there we are.
Yeah, perfect.
Don't let me miss that.
Alex, there was a rhetorical question that Kelly posed, and of course, as your friend in podcasting, Phil Lernis, who have co-hosted Chilpak Hollywood Hour for 7 years, I would not be me if I let that rhetorical question go unanswered. And the question was about how Amazon and Twitter, with money coming out of nowhere, seem to be making major investments into creating content. And I'd like to point out that the money is not, in fact, coming out of nowhere. It is, in fact, coming directly out of the pockets of the people who pay to subscribe to Netflix and to Amazon. Where the money comes from is us, the people who actually use those sites. That money is being used by these content aggregators to now go into content production. And so I think it's a really important point that the audience more and more often has a real power to shape the content that they're going to get to see. And, of course, Amazon actually embraces this idea by making their pilots for all their new series available for the audience to vote. The audience gets to be the network executives that decide whether or not a show gets picked up for a full series order, which happened with their recent pilots. Four of the five received such a positive response from the audiences that they all got full season orders. That's a really interesting change over how content is created by major studios.
Absolutely. And do we care, though? Holly, do you care about how... I mean, do you watch stuff on Netflix, or do you just sort of think, no, I personally prefer Channel 5?
I still buy DVDs, but I do like Channel 5, actually. Anyway, no, it works the same with books as well. There was a documentary on telly the other day that was filmed quite a few years ago on Amazon. That came on, and they were talking about how people had made their money on it, and there was a guy on who had written a book, and he'd written it in 30 hours or something, and he said that the sales from that book and the other books that have come subsequently has actually paid for his house. So yeah, it's a different way to get into these sort of industries, but it's trying to bring authorship to people who wouldn't necessarily be able to get things published.
Or possibly, we wouldn't want them to actually publish in the first place.
Well, apparently now it's not just on e-books, it's in print. And yet Amazon still don't make a profit, apparently.
Well, obviously that long river in South America, which Jeff Bezos obviously looks after, it's his way forward. Phil, would you mind if we did try to reach Jodie Orton? Because I do feel as though we wanted to fit you together on the show. And I'm just sort of thinking, could we maybe squeeze her in for 5 or 6 minutes at the end of this production? It still gives you another 6 or 7 minutes before we say happy trails. But I'd throw that to you.
Would I mind?
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking? Yes, of course I would. And I demand that you do it.
There you go.
Because that is my happy rant.
Yes.
That is my happy rant about Jodie Orton.
Exactly. Because let's face it, Jodie is one of the rare folk, in fact, the sole member of the Midweek Drive, who has actually been over at the heart of downtown Hollywood, and together with yourself and Dean Haglund, actually co-presented the legendary Chilipack Hollywood thing from the top of the tower as well. So she's there, physically.
Yes, and she has been, and it was great fun. And before we bring her on, let me just point out again, we're celebrating 7 years on Monday, and we will be making 2 very, very big announcements on the show that affect the future of your Chilipack Hollywood Hour.
Very exciting. And if you haven't been to chilipackhollywood.com, go. Go there and listen to all sorts of things. It's still the thing where, shameless plug. Do you think, Fatini, from what we've said, do you think we should invite Samantha Sheldon to possibly contribute to the show in a kind of telephonic manner? I mean, Penny Evans used to be brought back as well, do you think? Well, what do you think?
Why not?
Yeah. Why not, she says. Exactly. What do you think, Holly?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Find out some of the history of the show.
Not the history of the show. I mean, it's been a gap of 25 years. So, I mean, every year, Rupert Baker last year was brought back onto the whole thing, so it's all good. Phil, do you think that should be a good idea? We should invite, after all, I like to have this production meeting on air as we set the scene.
Well, of course, as we do, but really, who cares what I think? I want to know what Jodie thinks.
Very good. So what are the last 2 questions we need to put to Phil Leonis at this particular moment in time? Chloe?
Have you had a reasonably enjoyable telephonic link with us today?
It went so quick today, as good times always do.
It has gone quickly. And will you be back again?
Yes, but not next week.
No.
Not next week, Alex. I'm in court in a lawsuit.
It'll work well. It'll work splendidly. Remember, you can always watch the reruns of Perry Mason or possibly L.A. Law. Susan Day's interpretation, she'll help. She will help. That's the important thing. That's what I say.
So you want me to embody Susan Day?
Susan Day and Perry Mason, I think, as portrayed by Raymond Burr. I think that's...
I am nothing if not a cross between Susan Day and Raymond Burr. You know what? My mother married my father because he was a spitting image of Raymond Burr. That's the true story.
So there we have it. And there are 4 folk in the studio who probably don't even know who Raymond Burr was. A man called Ironside and Perry Mason.
I'm going to go clean up the sidecar on the bicycle.
We're going to drive, are we? Thank you. Happy trails, Phil. And so Rico Kasek drives off into the distance because even he realises, as does Penny Evans, who says, if you want me back on air, sure, I'm up for it any time. Well done, Penny. Samantha, we won't talk about yours. It's not the mileage, it's the whole sort of experience of life and so on, particularly if you're in East Nottinghamshire. And now we have Jodie Orton with us. Jodie, how are you?
Hello, Alex. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Chloe Baker only said she'd come back on the show if she could speak directly to the legend that was the Jodie Orton Meister from American Dream Team. We know it was Jack who kind of took the credit, but ultimately that's the case, isn't it, Chloe?
It's true.
Hello, Chloe.
Hi, Jodie. Well, thank you.
How's the dissertation going?
Yep.
Don't talk about that. It's fine. It'll be there in good time. Well, with a little extension. So what are you doing, Jodie Orton, graduate of American Studies and the one person who actually sort of sat with Phil Leonis in the Chilipack Hollywood scenario, and Phil sends his very best? We say that because we presume you weren't actually listening to us live on air.
No, sadly not. I would have been. London life is very hectic.
Yes.
One thing that I can say.
So this underground strike, have you managed to get it sorted out as yet so you can travel around quite happily?
I'm working on it.
Good.
I'm quite lucky. I'm in Ealing Broadway, which is in West London. Mm-hmm. And luckily the tube is still running where I live, and I actually only have a half an hour commute from home to work, from door to door, compared to like an hour and a half, 2 hours that some people do. So I'm quite lucky. And my tubes were still running, even though there were everybody was packed in like sardines.
Wonderful. I love the way you actually put the emphasis on my tubes are still running. It sort of carries with it all sorts of connotations from a literary field. Holly Parker is with us in the studio, a final year English student. We also have final year... Lauren, are you... Actually, Christina, are you a single honours performance student or are you a performance in English? What's your...
I'm single honours drama student.
Single honours drama. But the producer of The Sugar Syndrome, which stars, amongst others, the legend that is Fatini Estathio. So, I mean, what are you doing at present since graduating with your American Studies degree, Jodie Orton?
Well, I'm working for a high-end retailer.
We can mention Harvey Nichols if you want.
Okay, I work for Harvey Nichols.
But only twice.
You should look on YouTube for their Christmas campaign. It was quite fun.
Yeah, but we're just past Easter, Jodie. You know, I know things are tight in London, but you know, let's face it, we're heading up to Whitsuntide now. Don't get started about Christmas.
Yeah. Well, as Alex will know, while I was studying abroad in America, I discovered that I wanted to be a writer. And so one of the things I've been trying to focus on, especially in the last couple of months, is my writing. So aside from my day job, I've been writing in my blog, 33 and Lost in Life, which is going quite well.
Let's mention it again.
Really,
it's called
how life is going.
33andlostinlife.press.com. Not 33 and a third, of course, because that would have been an LP collection. So.
Well, it would. Yeah, and I'm going to be 36 on my next birthday.
No. Really? Yeah. 36 yeah. English years. Outstanding. Yeah. Just goes to show how quickly the time scoots by. But... Yeah, exactly. So did Gloria Gaynor, and she's even older than 36. It's amazing. Anyways, so do you miss the midweek drive, Jodie, or is it just a case of, no, I've had it with those 8-hour shows in the Saltburn funicular lifts and all the rest of the bits and pieces, so, you know, it's bad enough I've got Lincoln Inspired.
The Saltburn lifts, they were great, and yeah, I do miss Simon very much.
Well,
I really enjoyed my time there, and I think it did wonders for... Well.
Exactly.
My time at university, time as a person.
So there we are. It's marvellous stuff. Fatini, any questions you want to put to Jodie about life, the universe, or indeed, you know, Hublog 33?
Would you say living in London is something that everybody should experience?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is actually my second time living in London. I moved here when I was 19 to the hotel, and I worked for a law firm, and you know, it did me wonders, and then I've come down obviously as a 35-year-old.
I would say if you're tired of London, you should move to Sunderland. End off.
Don't do it.
Look, you've got the Stadium of Light. You've got the Glass Museum there. You've got the Rook of Roar. You've got all sorts of things there. It's fantastic.
You've got the seaside. Yeah. That's all you need.
Exactly. You've got the seaside. It's like Mabel.
No, I mean, I do love London. There's so much to do here. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. It's not the easiest place to be. It's very expensive, and it can be a very lonely place. Oh. But
You've got to keep that positivity going. That's time for our cue from our universe inspiration.
The things that are common to you, like windy mornings, starry skies, old trees, beetles, strawberries, doorbells, coffee, blue jeans, and summertime, are not common to us. Enjoy every flippin' moment, the universe. P.S. Believe me, time and space to us is like the ultimate theme park.
Yeah, so have you got the message? Okay, right.
That's very inspirational.
Yeah, I'd like to still feel I've got the contributors are all there. Fatini, have you enjoyed the show?
Yes, I have, very much so.
Very good. And Holly, have you enjoyed your second two-hour consecutive 2 hours on the Midweek Drive?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, thank you.
Back again tomorrow morning?
Yeah, if I'm up.
It's an extra special 2 hours plus one show tomorrow because it's basically 2 hours of the Midweek Drive Morning Edition and then an hour of Inspired On Air when Ed Wellman will be back with us and we'll be talking about all sorts of exciting Lincoln-inspired things plus featuring young adult author Georgia Twynham and crime writer Linda Bennett. That's between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. Chloe, you enjoy the programme?
As always, I have had a good time.
Has it helped with the dissertation?
Definitely.
Nice. And Lauren, has it helped your withdrawal symptoms from Sunderland, of course? Christina, I should say. Lauren, obviously, would deny ever being from Sunderland anyway. So, Christina, has it helped?
It has, very much.
Final plug for the Friction Theatre Company. It's The Sugar Syndrome, 28th of May, at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Tickets available online, presumably, from the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre.
Yep, and they're £5 each. And we have Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
And Instagram as well!
Yes!
Facebook, Twitter and Instagram is I just think, is like gilding the lily. It really is. It's fantastic stuff. Okay, to Gabriella Peralta and to Lauren for early in the production. Thanks for your contributions. Thanks to Cameron Tilbury, Sally Geeson, Kelly Duncan Joyner, Fiene Hill, Michelle Monroe, Giles Christian, Richard Edwards, Jodie Orton and Phil Leonis. Yes, we fitted in all 9 of the contributors and they said they weren't going to do it. Of course we were, right from the start. And thanks certainly to Chloe Baker and to Holly Parker and to Fotini Estathio in the studio and of course Christina as well. It is time for us all to say, what shall we say now, Jodie?
Shall we say, shall somebody ask me if I've had a wonderfully interesting...
Yes, nice question, nice, yeah. Holly, go for it.
Have you had a wonderfully interesting telephonic communications with us?
I've had a wonderfully interesting telephonic communication. Nice, thank you very much for
helps
when
we get the right number. That's all I can say.
It does, good. Yeah.
Anyway. And the next one is?
And will you come back and talk to us soon?
I will do, definitely.
Splendid.
Especially now Alex has my number.
Yeah, but you changed it last time you came. Anyway, let's move on. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye. Bye.